This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard,
man. Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, I am John Granato in studio with Charlie Epps. Billy Harmon is going to join us. Brandon's back on the board. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it has been. You've been lazy. Nice to get from you to get back to
work.
Well,
I had a long weekend, and I had to cover an overnight shift.
Okay. Well, I guess that's not lazy.
John, it's so good to see you.
You too, Charlie. Bring that
for many reasons, but I had a little hiccup last week, so it's great to have you driving the ship.
Well, it's fun to be back here. I was on the road, and now I'm back, and here we go, Charlie. We got Billy Harmon's going to join us in a little bit. We just got – this is a short segment, but they're a PGA National. Tell your story about you playing at PGA National in that senior event.
Oh, yes. It was the PGA Senior Championship, and I was all set to really, you know, really play well. And
this is about 20 years ago, back in the 90s?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. My 50th birthday was 25 years ago.
How about that?
So, anyways – I get up on the first tee, and I look over to my left, and there's a good buddy of mine from Argentina with his daughter. Oh, I got so excited. I went over there, said hello, and then I had to go hit my shot. Long story short, I make 7 on the first hole.
Ooh.
Triple. And it's the second day, and I want to make the cut. So I'm walking to the next tee, and I've got the scorecard out, and I'm about ready to put that 7 down. And I said, you know, if I don't put it on the scorecard, that means I haven't made it. You know, so I didn't keep score all day long. And as luck would have it, I made this, you know, I made the cut. I shot 75.
That's when it was par 72, not 70.
And you know, really played well. And so we get in the scorers tent, and the guy I was playing with, I can't remember who it was, I said, hey, give me your scores.
Why?
I said, well, I didn't write anything down.
And you made the cut.
I made
shot
the
75.
Cut.
You shot even par the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And made the cut. That's a great story. That's a hard course, and we'll talk about that. And we got a lot more to talk about. Billy Harmon is going to be joining us here. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And it's brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance on the SB Nation Radio Network. We got Tiger Woods to talk about. We got Patrick Reed to talk about. We got, well, this tournament to talk about, so don't you go anywhere. It's going to be a fun Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. So we're working on getting Bill in here. We'll have him in just a second. But interesting, the field is not exactly – well, we lost a couple of players, Charlie. We lost a couple of big names in Fowler and Koepka and some of the other guys didn't make the cut. I mean, this ain't easy, this place, that's for sure. But,
no.
But Brooks Koepka's not playing well.
He's not.
He's not.
He had that injury, and he mouths off a little.
He does.
He's
got four. He's got those four trophies.
You know, he says, $200 million is not going to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, making all those double bogeys is going to change his life.
Well, not really, because he's still got the 200.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah. Ricky missed the cut.
Well, Ricky didn't play. We got Bill. We got Bill Harmon with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Bill, welcome in. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
It's great to have you on here. We're just talking about Koepka. You know, just a great, great, great player, Bill. But, an injury, everybody, you get that injury, you get that knee, he doesn't feel, it doesn't look like he's sure about his swing, or maybe he's just, maybe he just doesn't have his swing yet.
Well, everything I've read, he said that he's playing okay, that he's putting terrible. But as we both know, or all three of us know, putting is a part of playing. So, it's very hard to play well enough at the elite level and not putt well. If you don't putt good, it's very, very hard to score, because if there's 150 guys in the tournament, Charlie, wouldn't you say 50 of them are putting good?
Oh, sure.
If you're one of the ones putting bad, boy, you're going to have to really, really good to overcome that.
And then you have the top 10 of the week. They're really putting well. So, yeah, Brooks is kind of going sideways on us here, you know, with the injury and his comments, and $200 million not going to, you know, the change his life. What I hear again, going brain dead, but, you know, you lose that magic touch, and it's hard to get it back. I mean, you know, look at Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Well, and it is true. They make so much money, and I would think human nature would be to let down a little bit once you've made it financially. So I think it's more unusual, the players that have that success and keep pushing on and driving on and getting better. I think it'd be more natural maybe to let down a little bit. And it's pretty hard to let down nowadays with all the good players they have playing golf and all these young guys that have come off the Web.com tour that are or Korn Ferry tour, excuse me, that are ready. And it doesn't take much for you to start slipping down the world rankings and the money list and things like that. And as you alluded to, Charlie, you know, Jordan Spieth is the one that probably is the most shocking to us, that he has continued to play as poorly as he's played for a couple of years now. It's really hard to believe.
Well, it's I looked at Victor Hovland this week. I mean, I'm in a fantasy deal, and if a guy wins one week, I ain't taking him the next. I'm just telling you, because he's going to party it up. He's not going to feel the same. It's hard to keep that stroke going for back-to-back weeks. And we've seen it with how many times? Bubba Watson, when he wins the Masters, he disappears for how long? And so many guys that win that major, and now they're going to cash in, and it's just not the same.
It's just an elusive game.
It really is. You got to be really, really good all the time to stay up there.
You can be real good one week.
And plus, this course, John, is so hard and so penal that, you know, you can barely miss shots and make a double or a triple with a shot that really isn't that bad. So when you look at the scores, what, 3 over par made the cut, that doesn't normally happen. The leading score isn't real low, so it's a very, very, very difficult course, and Victor coming off a win and stuff might not have been quite as sharp, and that course, if you're not sharp, you shoot 75 or 6 pretty easy.
Well, I'll tell you how hard it is, Bill. The most winning scores worse than 10 under. So you win this thing.
Wow.
Last year, you or just about every year, you win this thing with a score that's less than 10 or worse than 10 under. Since 2007, the Honda Classic has been won by a score worse than 10 under 10 times. So is the U.S. Open. The Open Championship only 7 times. The Masters 6, the PGA 6. So this is as hard to score as a U.S. Open. Yes. That's how hard PGA National is.
Plus it has the spring weather. The cold mornings, John. I think that's one reason why Tiger's not playing. Those cold morning tee times at 7 o'clock. Bill, it's hard to get that body loosened up.
Now he's pulled out of Bay Hill, which is a little bit alarming, I think. I think this is maybe cause for a little bit of concern that he's pulled out of, you know, he finished last at L.A. He didn't play in the World Championship event. He didn't play in Honda in his backyard. And now he's not going to go to Bay Hill where he owns that place. So that is quite intriguing, but, you know, we've been saying for years everything with him depends on his health. And fortunately for me, I've never had a bad back, but people that have had them, very rarely do they go from bad backs to have them being perfect the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. It seems like something that follows them around. John, you've been covering sports a long time. You know, guys with bad knee injuries or shoulder injuries, if they're a quarterback or a pitcher, they never seem to come back and be as good as they used to be.
Well, it's debilitating is what it is. And if that's the way it is, then he says he's going to be, he'll be there for the Masters, that's for sure. But he wants to be, is he going to be sharp is the question. You know, you know how he'll rehab. He'll rehab, and he probably will be able to tee it up for the Masters. But the question is how much do you, you know, what do you have to do to get ready for that?
You know, you got to play.
Yeah.
And he's not playing, and that's the worst thing, sit on the bench for a good player. But, you know, backs are to be loose, and what they've done to Tiger is they've frozen him. So that complicates the issue. So he's got to have a 2 or 3 hour just stretching in the morning to get ready. And
we've also got the Players coming up as a big tournament.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he's ready to play in that, Charlie, or will he maybe go down to Innisbrook in a couple weeks and play there? Maybe, you know, the back is going to now dictate his schedule maybe more than he wanted it to, and he might have to end up playing some venues that he maybe doesn't necessarily play. But very surprising to me that he didn't play here in his backyard, didn't play in a World Golf Championship. Now he's not going to play Bay Hill. And so that, you know, and he said that it was stiff in L.A., and he had a hard time swinging. So hopefully for him, this rest will do him just right. Nobody knows how to prepare for a tournament. If anybody can figure this out, it's him. But, Charlie, as you know, his local knowledge at Augusta is great. And you know that requires, that course requires a lot of knowledge. And so if he can just get himself hitting the ball reasonably well, I think he should be able to get in the hunt anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, guys, he doesn't play again before the Masters. You give him any kind of shot?
Well, sure, you always got to give him a shot, but it might go from 8-1 odds to 25-1. I mean, you know, that's only logical. But like Bill says, he knows it like the back of his hand, and that takes care of a lot of issues. But a back is a back, and if it's tight, forget about it.
Right, right. If you're swinging, right? Because you're like you said, I mean, you got to get into playing shape now. I mean, that's like any sport, though. You know, you could come back from basketball.
Yeah.
You come back for football. You know, J.J. Watt has to come back from his injuries all the time. He's not. We saw him in that last game. He just wasn't in playing shape.
You know,
and in golf, it's that, you know, you have that swing perfect for you because, especially at Augusta. You missed by a little bit here, a little bit there. You can't hold one of these greens. So it'll be interesting to see. It was just so special last year, him winning, though. So special.
Oh, my God.
That was something.
It blew me away.
It was awesome. It was awesome for the game, and it was awesome for, you know, it was just couldn't have been better. We'll see. I think we expect that now.
Story of the year almost, really.
Yep. And now we expect it every time he's teeing it up in a major. You know, is Tiger going to win? Is Tiger going to be a factor here? And it just makes it that much bigger. So hopefully he'll be able to, you know, compete and be there on Sunday, you know, because that takes the whole tournament to another level. All right, it's 22 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie, what about Insperity? We were just talking about the big tournament coming up here, end of April, May. Come on.
That's it, the Insperity Invitational.
We got to get out there.
It's the best senior event on the tour.
Is Billy Harmon going to be announcing it?
Billy Harmon? He
should be.
He's going to ask too
much
money.
He's big time. I know. He's only opens, U.S. Opens.
Big time. But, you know, Bill, I spent 4 days out in Tucson at the Champions Tour event and with Cabrera, and that's always interesting and fun. But you go down the practice team, you see all the guys, and they're all, you know, it's much more relaxed. But their swings really look really, really good. I mean, that's the most fun. But I see your good friend John Daly shot 6 under yesterday, and he's in third place. How about that?
Well, I think that you're right. I think most of the golf fans underestimate how good these guys still play, and that they don't play the courses unbelievably short because with the equipment and guys staying in better shape, they don't hit the ball that short either. They might not be, you know, I've always said that the tour players are all long, and they're just some are long and some are longer. But they play a lot better than you think. And the other thing that you mentioned is of no meaning to me.
But, you know, last year's winner, Mark O'Meara, he birdied, he parred one, and then he birdied 8 holes in a row.
Wow.
I mean, those That's things like that are incredible. But Ernie Els is out there, Bill. How about that, senior golfer? He lost in a playoff to Jimenez, who I spent some time with. He's a lot of fun. But Ernie seems to be excited about playing some of the Champions Tour events.
Yeah, he's played in just about every one, which is great, and it's great for the tour. He hasn't played as well the next couple after his good finish, but I don't think we're going to have to worry about him. But as you know, Charlie, you've seen it. Once again, if you don't putt good, you know, Brett Quigley shot 9-under. You can't shoot 9-under without putting good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any difference how good you hit it at some point. If you don't make a lot of putts, you're not going to even contend on the Champions Tour.
Well, I got a question for you guys. Let's head back to PGA National. 2 of the last 5 years, the Bear Trap was the hardest 3-hole stretch in the on tour, and by far in 2018 it was the hardest 3-hole stretch over this 5-year period. They averaged over a stroke over par, which is the hardest 3-hole stretch that we've seen in the last 5 years. 2015 it was the hardest 3-hole stretch. In 2018 it was the hardest 3-hole stretch. What's the next hardest? What was the other one that actually was hardest in 3 of the 5? Do you guys know?
No.
What 3-hole stretch, Bill? What would you imagine?
I do not. I would have to kind of, would it be maybe at Innisbrook?
It is not. It is the Horrible Horseshoe at Colonial.
Ah.
2, 3, and 4.
That's interesting.
That was the hardest 3-hole stretch in 3 of the last 5 years. Amen Corner was also difficult, but it is not even close to those two.
The horseshoe up at Colonial, there's a really sharp dog legs, and it's hard to fit the driver into the fairway. And so that's not surprising to me. Jack Montgomery is a great golf professional. He'd just get up and he'd put 3 sixes on his scorecard.
it's that hard. So the start of Colonial is where you are going to have your most trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you can get out of there.
First hole is not an easy par 5, but it's relative.
Okay.
But then 2 is an extremely short right dog leg, and coming back, it's a left dog leg, and then the next hole is a 240-yard par 3.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that's good.
Bill, I love that. Charlie can't remember what he ate a little while ago, but he knows every shot he hit at the Horrible Horseshoe.
Yeah, that was very good, Charlie. I was expecting him to say the second hole was a third hole, and the fourth hole was the fourth hole, third hole, and he did that very good, Charlie. He did a lot of homework there. John kind of laid that on us, too, you know, which is the hardest 3-hole stretch. I'm thinking, geez.
That ain't too easy.
I don't even know where to begin here.
Do you know, so Bill, tell us about PGA National, though. What kind of experience have you had there?
I caddied in the Ryder Cup there in 1983.
Okay. And that.
But that was before Nicklaus came and redid the course.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I actually have never been on this golf course. You know, I've seen it every year on TV because I think the finish usually is very exciting because everybody's, you know, guiding it and holding on, and starting on those par threes, 15 and 17 look almost impossible to hit the greens.
Yep.
And so I happen to like finishes like that. Some people don't, but I do. And I like to see it hard, and I like to see it where pars are hard to earn. So every now and then. I love to see a tournament like they have here. I prefer to see this, to be honest with you, more than I do 25 under par. So I prefer to see par being a relative standard.
Well, the Players' Championship's coming up, and we know the Players, their last three holes are really quite interesting, 16, 17, and 18. I think, you know, 17, the Island Green is fun to watch.
Obviously, yeah. 16's fun to watch, too.
Yes.
The par 5.
Very much so.
You got a lot of experience there. But this PGA, when you played there, Charlie, and you told you had the 7 on the first hole, and then you played even par in.
Yes.
Was it this iteration, the Jack iteration?
Yeah.
When you're standing over there, when you're standing on 15 and you're standing on 17, tell me what you're thinking.
Well, you got to just get into the, block out the water and commit to your yardage. And don't let the hole intimidate you too much. You still got to get up and make a good golf shot, but don't get too fancy.
What if the wind is blowing?
The wind, that adds another element where, your instincts are to try to keep the ball low, and anytime you try to keep the ball low into the wind, it's going to go higher. So you just got to, man up. And
get up there and hit it.
That's right.
That's all. What are you going to do?
That's it. Just play golf.
That's all.
Right, Bill?
Well, that is one hell of a hard stretch.
Yeah, I think Bobby Jones said it best, that hazards were meant to be emotional, not physical. And so at the end of the day, Curtis Strange once said, you just got to get up and make a damn good golf swing. And if you do that, you're okay. But it's kind of hard when if you miss by a couple yards, you're going to make a double or triple bogey. So it's easy sitting in the studio, and it's easy sitting in my house right now to tell you how to play those holes. But if you're the one playing them, it's not quite that easy.
No, nothing easy. Nothing easy about that. No, standing up on those and standing on 17, like you said, at the Players. That you, especially if it's blowing.
The one thing about 17 is you're thinking about it at 13.
Yeah, because it's coming up.
Yeah,
and it's normally. I mean, come on, a hole that short, you're like, oh, this is nothing.
It's the wind. You got to know where the wind's coming right, Bill?
Absolutely.
You bet.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've had Jay competing, and you had to step up on 17, right?
Yeah, one year when Jay tied for second, he was in the last group at Padraig Harrington, and we had to hit a 6-iron on the 17th hole into that wind.
A 6-iron?
Normally did. A 6-iron.
Holy cow. That
is... Oh, I was nervous.
he hit the green.
Yeah, he hit it right in the middle of the green. Beautiful shot.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I'm glad
I didn't have to hit it.
Yep. No. Well, Charlie, what about Insperity? Let's talk about that for just a minute here.
It's a company that was established in 1986 by a gentleman that really knew what he was doing. And his secret to success, and you can read his book, is how he treats his people. And right now, Insperity has 3,500 employees, and they think Insperity is the best place to work. It's a wonderful atmosphere. So that right there is a plus. And then they know how to take care of their customers because their business is customer relationship. So if the small business owner that might be listening to our show today, if you really want some help or you want to grow your business, go to Insperity.com or call their offices and they'll send out the experts and they'll tell you what they can do for you, and that's success.
That is success. So Insperity, inspiring business performance, Insperity.com. Get there and see what they can do for your business. Just a bunch of great people, too.
Great people.
Yeah. You love those guys. James. And we got the tournament coming up.
That's it.
All right. End of April and the beginning of May.
That's right. And it's free.
And it's absolely free to come out.
Free
out
to the, and
are the Jack and them coming out this year?
Yes, they have
too?
The old timers again. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino.
That's awesome.
Lee's the one guy that's beautiful. He never stops talking.
You know, well, we got to stop talking because we got to take a break. We got another big segment to come right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Hey!
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Patrick Reed wins last week, guys. Good for him. Good for the game.
I'm really concerned about that. I mean, I just can't see why the kid won't behave. Why does he have to draw that attention to himself and to the game? I mean, he's a hell of a player. He proves that. But he just wants to be the bad guy, Bill. I don't understand it.
Well, the thing that's intriguing to me, Charlie, is I think Patrick handles himself beautifully on the course. You know, he's great composure. I like watching him play under the gun. He's a prime-time player. You know, when he hits bad shots, he doesn't get really upset. He seems very composed. This other thing I don't really understand, because if you watch him play, I don't know, he doesn't really overreact when things aren't going his way. He seems to have a tremendous amount of poise and composure under the gun. He takes his time. So the other thing I'm just not sure of, I don't really understand it. It just seems like I really don't understand the other part of it, because he doesn't really act in a manner on the golf course that would make you want to think that the thing is really askew. So he's an enigma to me, to be honest with you. I don't know him, so I've just observed him, you know, like everybody else has. But I also have to say that when I observe him play golf, I think he handles himself very well.
Yeah, I haven't played golf with him, but I've been around him. I've, you know, had some casual conversations. You know, his wife is delightful. I mean, his success has just been impeccable. I mean, it's really been good what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He proved that, you know, he is a top five player in the world. But he's got to realize he's got to respect the game.
Yeah.
And it's a game of rules, and you got to abide by the rules.
Well, I think he may have learned that lesson this time. We shall see. Although Peter Costas says he ain't learning nothing after he said he's seen him at least four times improving his lie. So that is unfortunate. And he says he wants to be a role model, but we'll see. Here's the thing, though, we're facing this with our Astros here in Houston, is are you going to be able to play with all this criticism, with all these people hounding you, because it's happening every day for the Astros. It happens for Patrick Reed as well. Can you put that aside and be able to perform while everybody is bearing down on you and you're the bad guy? And Patrick Reed was
Reed has done that.
He has.
Which is really fascinating, is it doesn't seem to bother him at all. You know, he lost in a playoff in Hawaii to Justin Thomas. He wins this big tournament, you know, in a shootout with some pretty good players, Boy Rory and John Rahm and DeChambeau and all this stuff. And so he's a prime-time player, and he seems to have the ability to block all that off. And John, you've been covering sports a long time. There's certain players that perform much better with a chip on their shoulder, you know, and I would say Patrick is one of those guys. And I really don't know, all the other stuff just seems so odd to me when I watch the way he handles himself on the golf course. He's not a hothead, he's not a club thrower, you know, and so I think at the end of the day, he's the only one, Charlie, that knows what he's thinking.
That is,
and
for
he's
sure
not letting on to it.
Yeah, you know, and I guess that, does the commissioner call you in and talk to you? And I don't know how to handle the situation, but something's got to be done. I don't want him to, you know, really embarrass himself and do something that is going to cost him his livelihood.
No, well, he, you know, just, you know, stop cheating, I guess. That's going to be it. He says, and when asked, you know, hey, you got your detractors, how you doing? He said, I'm used to it. Oh, well. And he just lets it. And it's got to roll off. It's got to roll right off, and it rolls off for him as well as anybody we've seen. Is there another golfer that we remember that's had this kind of you know, controversy. VJ came from Europe. He catch it from the crowds like Patrick Reed is?
No, it was early on in his career, and it was over in Europe, and it kind of got put underneath the table. He was suspended for a year or whatever, but I don't know of any
Sergio's
other.
Sergio's been the bad guy here, you know. Remember when he re-gripped 30 times before he could hit a shot?
Oh, yeah, and that was in New York.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. And that was, you know, and he, you know, was able to, well, I don't know how well, he certainly didn't do it as well as Patrick Reed. Bill, is there anybody that we can remember that has had this kind of, you know,
reputation?
Yeah, well, or that has had this kind of controversy with the fans.
With VJ, he certainly had it, and Sergio has had a kind of a checkered reputation throughout his career. And just when he seems to mend it up a little bit, then he'll do something else. It'll get you kind of thinking about him. But this cheating thing, or the thought that someone cheats in the game of golf, really is a real black eye for the player. But interestingly enough, that's the part that fascinates me about Patrick. It doesn't bother him what other people think. And, you know, when Costas came out, said he saw it four different times. And before Costas came out, I was talking to somebody very high up in the chain in CBS Golf that had told me about Costas and seen him. I can't remember. I think they said they might have it on film, but I don't know if CBS wants to get involved in that, you know, because they've got a contract with the tour. And as Charlie knows, the tour protect, you think the NFL protects its shield. PGA Tour protects its shield much more than the NFL, in my opinion. So I don't think they want any of this getting out. They like this stuff to be swept under the rug. I heard last week that a reporter asked Patrick about some of the cheating stuff, and either a media official from the PGA Tour came right in and ended the interview as soon as they went to that subject. And they basically said, if you want to talk about golf, fine, but we're not going to talk about the others. So I'm sure in their mind it's done with and over with, and they penalized them and this and that, which happens in golf. So from their perspective, I'm sure they think they've done all they need to do. But, you know, like Charlie said, it's a black eye on the sport. It's a black eye on Patrick. And he's the only one that knows what his intention was when he did that thing in the Bahamas. He's the only one that knows what his intention is when he pats down behind the ball like Costas alleged. And so unless he shares that with us, this is probably going to follow him around.
Yep. Let's talk about something positive. Let's talk about Lee Westwood, 46 years old.
Yes. Lee's been always one of the great ball strikers, and he likes playing in cold weather because he's English, you know. So, yes, if his putter's up and his chipping's better.
His chipping's been, right?
It's been suspect. Yeah. Just like all of us as we get into that 48 era where our eyesight's.
Has the weather been cold down there this week?
In West Palm, yeah. Florida. It was starting in the morning, yeah. And it was cold over in Tucson also.
Wow.
40 degrees.
Getting the Weather Channel going on.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get something here.
The funny thing is, a lot of Westwood's recent comments, because he's been playing well recently, is he's talking about being more relaxed, having more fun, playing golf with less care. And, you know, also tied with Westwood, you know, you wouldn't know this, you know, but Luke Donald and Lee Westwood in their careers have reached the number one ranking in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't hold on to it very long, which is no big deal. The fact that they got there is a big deal. But, you know, Luke Donald fell off the map too, Charlie.
Yes.
Yep.
He went from number one to you never even talk about him.
Right. Well, is that a Jordan Spieth trajectory right here?
Could be. It's
I don't know. The Jordan Spieth thing is, you know, I've been saying it for a year now, is a mystery to me.
Yeah.
Well, was it Luke Donald at the time too? That beautiful swing, and what the heck's going? What happened? You went from number one to where'd you go?
He really was the type of player that he was kind of behind the scenes anyway. He, you know, he wasn't flashy or anything
like that. He did change teachers, which a lot of guys do trying to get better. And he went to a very good teacher, but for whatever reasons, it didn't work out. And that happens also.
Yep.
But a lot of times when you change the, you know, the swing that gets you to number one, well, there's just no law saying you're ever going to get it back. So, but he seems to be playing a little bit better here recently. And this might be the good kind of course for him, Charlie, where you've got to grind it out and have a good wedge game, be a good putter. So I think it'll be a very interesting finish. And when you look at the leaderboard now, I mean, I think you can go to 7-8 shots back. Basically, anybody who's made the cut, one of those guys shoots 3 or 4 under today and goes out and 2 or 3 under on Sunday, he'll probably be within a couple shots of the lead, as John alluded to earlier in the show. It's almost an impossible tournament to try to finish it.
You got to play it from the fairways, that's for sure. It's interesting, yeah. The golf course itself, all the holes go different directions, so you really can't guess where the wind's coming from, you know, and driving is really of the essence also, especially on the front nine. I'd like to see him win.
Yeah, well, Fleetwood is lurking a few shots back at -2. Billy Horschel, there's a guy that gets emotional. He's at even par. He can make some noise. There's some good players lurking in, you know, and you're right, Bill. You're 5 back, and you can make that up in a hurry.
You know, you take Billy Horschel and you take Zach Johnson, two great guys 3 years ago that were really going great guns, and they changed equipment, and that made a big difference. And I know right now that they've left PXG and they're going back to their old equipment.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. So, and then Westwood went through a bad divorce. For a couple years, you know, and a lot of these guys, you know,
it affects them.
It doesn't come out publicly, but those kind of mental issues.
Oh, I've seen guys, pros that nobody knows. That's what's going on behind the scenes, and it absolutely affects them because the concentration level in any sport at the professional level. If you don't have it, if there's something in the back of your mind, look what happened to Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to name other names, but I know some other guys that went through bad divorces that it absolutely affects you because you got to have that total commitment and concentration at that highest level. And if you don't, you ain't going to play well.
You're not going to play well.
All right, 8:52. It's 52 past the hour here on the show because they're listening all over the country. Okay?
All over, 100 cities.
That's right.
120 cities just to hear Bill Harmon, you know, talk about golf.
Well, you know what? They're going to hear Bill Harmon talking about golf at the U.S. Open on Fox. That's what they're going to be hearing.
How about that? Bill, are you rehearsing? You getting prepared?
Yeah, I'm doing some homework. You bet. You bet I am.
Well, absolutely. It's only 4 months away.
Ready.
Yeah, it's only 3 or 4 months away. Bill, let's go. Let's go.
Now, do they send anything, what you can say and what you can't say?
Not yet. I'm sure I'll have many meetings on that, but I'll be prepared.
Absolutely. Try not to say anything that'll, you know, get the FCC involved. Okay, Bill?
I won't.
Do us that favor. So we'll take a break. We got one final segment with Charlie and Billy right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. We're watching the combine over here, Bill. You watch the combine?
Not really.
Yeah. Charlie loves it. He was watching. Apparently, you were watching them wide receivers, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
They can go.
Really, really athletes. I mean, damn.
Unbelievable what they're doing.
I mean, but that one poor guy, he started off and he got hit right in the head. And then he had to run across the field, you know, where they couldn't give him 6 fast pass. He couldn't get anything.
Nothing.
They almost
gave him a concussion.
Concussion.
Yeah. That's hopefully. Well, you only
how's,
if you're,
how's the XFL going for you, John?
The XFL is great, man. We're unbeaten, Bill. Okay?
I know you are.
And, you know, we covered one. We covered one. We lost one, and we pushed one. So we're allowed to talk about it on the broadcast. Not only allowed, we're encouraged to talk about it. So it's great.
Betting?
About betting, yeah. Hell yeah. What do you think made the NFL so big?
Monday Night Football.
Betting.
Betting, sure.
Jimmy the Greek and all that, what was going on, that's what made it. And then fantasy football and Monday Night Football, all of that contributed to it. But the people like to bet, okay? So the XFL says, we don't mind you talking about it. Let's go. So it's a lot of fun. We got a good team. So we go up to Dallas today. We play them tomorrow. And let's see if we can't come away 4-0 with a big lead in the division.
We want that.
That's right. That's right. That's what we're looking for. So it's been a lot of fun.
Now, will the team drive up or fly up?
We're going to bus up. Bus up to Dallas. Okay. It's about the same if you fly with all the rigmarole with flying and everything
sure,
else.
In exactly.
Charter and, yeah. You know, getting the buses from the – you might as well just bus up. So that's what we're going to do. But we had a nice trip to Tampa last week. What an exciting game. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm having a ball. So,
good for you.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, it's
great.
It's good time. So, what do you guys see this weekend?
Well,
I say Westwood.
You like Westwood?
You know, that's yeah. A good pick. It's kind of hard to pick a winner on Saturday over there because see what they shoot today and call me on Sunday.
All right, I'm going to take Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
All right.
I love his game. Love okay. That game.
All right, Charlie, you mail your prediction in tomorrow for us.
Steelman.
You're going to take, oh, really?
Yeah. All right, there you go.
All right, there we go. He's picked, Charlie said, you know what, screw it. I'm gonna tell you exactly what I think.
Hey, Bill, I'll see you on Monday and Tuesday.
We'll talk to you guys next week. So long, everybody.